It's always fun at the end of the year to take count and see what people have loved, what they've been looking at. It's an interesting demarcation, kind of in this downtime at the end of the year to look back. And we are inviting back to the World Cafe Heather Brown, who does the I Am Fuel You Are Friends blog at fuelfriendsblog.com, and has a particular affinity for, shall we say, the young singer-songwriter. Does that fit?
Sure, that's a fair. I mean, in general, yeah, I love songwriting, quality songwriting. So,
well, the reason why I mentioned that is because you were the first place we heard about The Head and the Heart, for instance, and there, and so we always try to dip into your knowledge pool. Heather, what were some of the high points of the year musically for you, just in general, not necessarily albums?
I feel like this year I really kind of took a step back from trying to go to all kinds of big giant festivals and really focused on, it was a restorative year for me with music. I look at the festivals I was able to go to. I look at, I do these chapel recording sessions where musicians come into the church on the Colorado College campus where I work. It was just a beautiful year for me of kind of stepping back and really enjoying some less commonly heard music and starting to make some of my own recordings with bands that I really believe in. There was a wonderful festival in August of this year, very small. They call it kind of like a hyper-local festival. It's called the Doe Bay Festival, and it's on Orcas Island in the San Juans. It's only accessible by boat or, I guess, seaplane if you're feeling adventurous. Very small festival, maybe 1,000 people total, but some incredible talent from mostly the Pacific Northwest, some national level bands that were brought in. But it was a wonderful festival, both because of the combination, I think, with the size of it. It was intentionally kept small, not a lot of boundaries between the artists and the people in attendance at the festival. A lot of collaboration. That's one thing that I really admire that's happening right now in the Pacific Northwest, is a lot of mutual respect and collaboration between artists that are making music, even if their music sounds very different, that they are working together and supporting each other, which is really exciting to see in any scene. Denver has been like that, and there's plenty of other places around that have that supportive, connective network. But yeah, and just it's a very exciting time. Several of my picks this year are out of the Pacific Northwest, and I think for good reason. So,
well, why don't we start with somebody you might have seen at Doe Bay?
Okay. Well, one of the first bands that I'm most excited about this year is a band called Pickwick. They co-headlined one of the nights at Doe Bay. They, along with The Head and the Heart, they actually broke the stage at Doe Bay because they invited everyone up on stage, and felt like a revival on there. It was a very small stage, so nobody got hurt. But Pickwick is a band that they're six white guys who sound, when they sing, against all odds, quite convincingly like a soul or blues band from a generation ago. It's a very refreshing sound. This was the year that they quite literally, I think, found their voice as a band. Pickwick used to be sort of an ambient folk type band, which in Seattle they were finding it obviously very difficult to kind of rise above the din with that sound. And there's this great story. Galen Diston, the lead singer, was in his cubicle at work, and he heard Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, and he said it just jumped out of the speakers at him, and he felt like he really wanted to, it changed his perspective on what kind of effect I think he wanted to have his music strive for, their music strive for. So they tried something totally new. They shifted degrees completely into this wonderful revival soul type sound. They admit that it's a new genre. It's a stretch for them, that it's a scary place to be. They're out of their comfort zone, but it's very exciting music. I think that Galen is a very unlikely frontman. He looks, one of my favorite quotes that I read this year was somebody on Facebook commented, in a million years, you wouldn't pin that voice coming from him. He's like, hello, I'm here to fix your internet. And then boom, voice. And it's true, because he looks like a tech support guy. And so, but to hear this beautiful soul voice come out, and where he is just so clearly in his element, and the band really springs to life around him to support each other, they're terrific. Sitting on the floor in your bedroom, spinning Bowie around. You're gonna die in the kitchen.
You ask me to bow your cheek. Blackout from Pickwick, one of the picks from Heather Brown, who's here from the I Am Fuel, You Are Friends blog, and one of the discoveries she made in the Seattle region in the Northwest. And Heather, let's stay in that area because you have another band we've actually had on the cafe that had a wonderful record out this year. And I don't know if you could have them in one of your chapel sessions because they're so big. We're talking about Typhoon. Tell me about how you found out about them.
Well, so in Typhoon, I would love to have them in the chapel. We've talked about that. It's hard to get all 12 of them from Portland to Colorado. Typhoon is this, they're young. They're all probably in their early 20s. They all live together in Portland. There's so many band members and instruments, but they all feel integral to the swelling of the song, to the direction that the music goes. Feels to me like one orchestral work altogether, not individual songs cut up. There's a theme, very strong theme throughout. Kyle Morton, the lead singer, struggled with Lyme disease when he was younger. He was bitten by a tick and it went undiagnosed for a number of years. And, had all kinds of health issues because of that. So a lot of their music struggles in a pretty surprisingly deep way for people that are in their early 20s about mortality and about illness and God and death. And I mean, heavy subject matter, but the way that they all sing it together, there's a strong feeling of, you know, throwing back their heads, singing everybody all together. There's a lot of joy in watching Typhoon perform. They've really taken off this year. And I think that in the coming year that they'll go even further.
And what shall we hear from them?
It's hard to pick a song because so many of theirs take a long time to develop. The song I picked is called Kitchen Tile, and it's the shortest song on the record, but I think it nicely kind of gives you some sense of what they're like, and then you can delve in deeper. The record is called A New Kind of House, and really immerse yourself in sort of the whole opus of all the tracks. They hang together really nicely.
You don't want to waste what's left of your life trying to stay alive. Just a little while. You know you should come back home from there and get some peace and quiet for a little while.
Kitchen Tile, one of the tracks from A New Kind of House from Typhoon, the album they had out this year, and one of the picks of Heather Brown from the I Am Fuel, You Are Friends blog, things that have moved her this year. And we always turn to Heather for new things. Let's see. Tell us about Tyler Lyle. I see he's one of your picks.
Yeah. Tyler Lyle kind of came out of nowhere for me. He is a young singer-songwriter originally from Atlanta, now lives out in California. This record was recorded, his record is called The Golden Age and The Silver Girl, which just caught my eye first because of the title. It's a great title. He recorded it in one day. He recorded it after a breakup, and it was 2 days before he was going to leave Atlanta for good. He was moving out of town to move to California. It has this real snapshot quality, this very honest, exceedingly sort of humble sound. There's great songwriting, very melodic. It reminds me, when David Gray's first record came out, I remember there was the one that he recorded in his bedroom and kind of came out of nowhere. There was a little sticker on the front that I remember. I think it was Dave Matthews, and he said that something to the effect of, like, David Gray is beautiful in the purest and most honest way. And I liked that. And I was recalling that as I listened to Tyler Lyle for the first time. I think the way that David Gray's record pierced me the first time I heard it, just in its humble nature and incisive honesty, reminds me a lot of why I can't stop listening to Tyler Lyle. His record's on Bandcamp. It's $6. It's one of the best records that I've downloaded this year. This song that I want to play for you is the title track, The Golden Age and The Silver Girl. It's the first song on the record. It just explodes. The first time I heard it, I thought, this could be a perfect song. So the whole record is great, and this is how it begins.
Shoes untied.
The The Golden Age and the Silver Girl, which is the title track of an album you can find on Bandcamp from Tyler Lyle. And that is another one of the picks for 2011 from Heather Brown from I Am Fuel, You Are Friends. We're checking in again with Heather this year, as we have in the past, about things that have moved her. And what's up next?
There's a record I really loved this year. It's hard to say. It's the Rural Alberta Advantage. Ever since I started watching 30 Rock, and there's the whole plot line with the rural juror on there. It's always, every time I say it out loud, I have to distinctly articulate Rural Alberta Advantage. It's a Canadian band who released their sophomore record this year. It's called Departing. It's out on Saddle Creek Records, which is in Omaha. That's the record label, Bright Eyes and Rilo Kiley and bands that I tend to associate with having kind of an urgent percussive melodic music. I went through a phase this summer where I was actually falling asleep to this record on a regular basis, which is weird because it's, as you'll hear, it's a very, it's a rough record. It's almost got a punk rock feel, but to me, the percussion's almost like a narcotic effect. I think there's smart songwriting. I think there's a lot of incisive urgency on this record. You know, I think that people have different opinions on non-traditionally pretty singing voices. Nils does have a very nasally sort of a voice, but it works in creating an urgency in this music. The song that I want to play is called Muscle Relaxants, and this is the one that, weirdly enough, I was falling asleep to. And it's narcotic, and it's a beautiful song. So this is Rural Alberta Advantage, Muscle Relaxants.
Hanging out, Muscle Relaxants.
That is Muscle Relaxants from Rural Alberta Advantage. As our guest, Heather Brown, making sure I say that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Brown is here from I Am Fuel, You Are Friends, and these are a few of her picks for 2011. Some you don't see on a lot of other people's lists, which is one of the reasons, Heather, you're here. That's very cool. Now, I see you, as myself, were a fan of Metals, the Feist album mm-hmm. from this year. She seemed to kind of recover her footing in some ways on this mm-hmm. one. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, Feist is, I think, I'd call her a national treasure, but she's Canadian and I'm American, but just a treasure to music in general. It's rare. Over her 10-year career, I find that she's been, or longer than 10 years, but her solo career, just unclassifiable, completely unclassifiable, which I really appreciate in music. You never know what you're going to get with a Feist record. She seems to have these bottomless wells of imagination. You know, on this record, I think this is a little bit darker. It feels like a darker, more weighty record to me. The record was recorded partly in Big Sur, California, which is near where I'm from. And if you've ever been out there, you know that the two things that kind of leave a lasting impression are the immense redwood trees and the fog, depending on when you're there. Her record, I think, feels some of that kind of heft and sadness to it. I don't know the circumstances behind her writing the record. But in addition to that boundless imagination and creativity, I think she captures some of that more melancholy side of things. This song that I wanted to play is the first song on the album, The Bad in Each Other, and it starts out right away, draws you in with the hand claps and the stomps, but you hear also showcased some of that mournfulness and the beauty in her voice.
From the Battles album, that is Feist, and that is The Bad in Each Other, another one of the picks of Heather Brown today as we look back on 2011 here on the World Cafe. Heather is the author, and I don't know how she finds time to do it, of I Am Fuel, You Are Friends, the blog, and always has interesting picks, always has passion involved, and thank you for your passionate picks this year.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on the show. It's always nice to be here, so...
Heather Brown, our guest here on The World Cafe. I'm David Dye. This is The World Cafe.
I met this girl in radio. Said her signal was low. She wasn't getting my sound. She kept the volume down. I told her, turn up the bass, bass. And then she kissed me in my face.
Music from Rafael Sadiq here on The World Cafe. That is Radio from his album Stone Rollin', that came out early in 2011. Back in 2010, when we were doing this segment we're doing now with our executive producer of The World Cafe, Bruce Warren, with his eye on the future, which was this past year, he said Rafael Sadiq is going to be a big album, and he played Radio for us. And we're going to take a look before we get his picks moving forward to 2012 at some of those things you pointed out last year, Bruce. First of all, good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Not like I don't see you every day. But,
thanks for having me.
Radio. Now, would you call that a success?
I think it was. You know, there's a lot of different ways to measure success now. And, you know, getting radio play for radio, you know, is not high up there on a lot of people's lists. Yeah, you know, traditionally, David, you know, if you get your song played on the radio, it means you're going to, you know, be a superstar. Not always the case, because the industry has changed so much. So the reason why I was big for Rafael was because it probably sold twice as many records as his previous record did. But it's really about the touring, you know, and this year, Rafael did incredible business. You know, when he toured on his last record, you know, if there were 200-300 people at a show, that was great. But he's selling out 1,500, 2,000-seat venues right now. So the record definitely had a connection to people.
Absolutely. Another person we'd heard of in the past that you picked last year was Greg Allman with his Low Country Blues album, which was a strong, strong record and a real comeback for him. How would you judge that one looking back?
That's a good question. You know, it didn't make any critics' polls.
No, I didn't see it anyway.
You know, I guess if that's one way of looking at a successful record.
But very few vintage artists like that, unless you're Tom Waits, actually do anymore.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, it was a really strong record. You know, when we got this record, when we first heard about this record, we thought, you know, Greg Allman wasn't going to be long for the world. You know, he was really sick. He was in the hospital.
Liver transplant.
Canceled a ton of Allman Brothers dates. But it was an absolutely wonderful record. You know, very soulful. His voice sounded great on it. The choice of songs was really good. So we were pleased with it. You know, I was pleased with it.
And a couple of other picks, and this one you'll have to school me on, because you picked J Electronica last year, and I'm not sure I saw a J Electronica album come across my desk.
No, it definitely not. And you know, if I remember what I said about J Electronica last year, it was like he's one of these guys. It's hard to sort of, you know, put your arms around. Like, it's hard to nail down J Electronica. There's always rumor of a record. That's still the case. So we'll see what happens. There's no doubt, though, that his influence is still very major, and a lot of hip-hop fans, you know, that's all they talked about this year was like, hey, when's Jay's record coming? So we'll see what 2012 brings.
Another pick was Scars on 45 with the song Hearts on Fire.
Well, you know, there's a case of where television trumps radio. You know, these guys were embraced by the Grey's Anatomy crew. They had this song in an episode, and it just completely blew up. Their full album has not been released yet.
Really?
And I know it's coming soon. It's coming in 2012, but I don't know exactly when. But they sort of changed their game plan around this. They put out a couple singles. The success of Grey's Anatomy sort of happened. They're touring a lot, and they have an official EP out now. But man, you know, you get a song on Grey's Anatomy and on the Grey's Anatomy soundtrack CD, you're doing pretty good, and you're reaching a lot of people.
But in terms of full lengths, we'll put Scars on 45 and J Electronica on the deferred list. What else? Oh, I remember Eliza Doolittle. I don't know if people remember her. She was from England, very perky, a lot of samples. I got to tell you, when you first hear it, you thought of Lily Allen. And this didn't translate to America.
No, it didn't. And, you know, it's easy to blame the record company, so let's blame the record company. But I think you just hit it right on the head. It was just, I think it was too Lily Allen. you know, it wasn't enough Eliza Doolittle. So
And it is sometimes tough to get things to cross the Atlantic as well, even nowadays. All right, those were your picks from last year. And now, just for reference, what were your top five albums for this year?
Well, you know what? I was sort of stuck between the world of hip-hop and the world of rock and roll this year. I think some of the best hip-hop has come out in the years, this year in particularly, and I would point to records by Drake, Take Care, the new Roots album, Undone, and a band from Toronto called The Weeknd, that's W-E-E-K-N-D, who put out two records this year, all for free, but the first one, House of Balloons, I think was probably one of the best, if not the best, hip-hop album of the year. And on the rock and roll side, I'm a big Dawes fan, as I know you are. So, you know, Nothing Was Wrong with Nothing Is Wrong, the new album from Dawes. And Justin, you know, Bon Iver, just put out an absolutely beautiful, amazing record that I actually listened to that album in its entirety again last night after not having listened to it for a while. And it still holds up. It's a beautiful, beautiful record.
All right. Very interesting picks. Now it's time to see what's happening on the other side of January 1st, 2012. Some things you think we'll be listening to maybe this time next year. And what's on your list?
Well, how about if we start with some folk soul music? Folk soul music from a guy from North London, Michael Kiwanuka.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a 23-year-old guy. His parents are from Uganda, and they moved to London when he was very young. And, you know, this is soulful, warm, organic, very rootsy music. He's got two EPs that are available at most of your neighborhood digital music services. However, his first full-length album is coming out in March. It's going to be called Home Again. And you know what? If you like Terry Collier, Bill Withers, you know, the slower side of Otis Redding, I have a feeling you're going to dig this guy.
And what do we want to hear from him?
Let's listen to this one. It's called Tell Me a Tale.
Tell me a tale that always was. Sing me a song that I'll always hear. Tell me a story that I can read. Tell me a story that I believe.
Michael Kiwanuka, Tell Me a Tale, and Michael's album coming out in March of this year. British artist Michael Kiwanuka. A pick from our executive producer, Bruce Warren, who's taking a look into 2012 for us. And maybe just to talk a little bit about Michael in terms of what happens in the record business this year. He seems to have blown up extraordinarily fast. He's on the most major of major labels, isn't he?
Yeah, he signed to Interscope Records. And you know what? I think sometimes the authenticity piece, you know, there's hype for the fun, cool stuff that's out there, but there's also a lot of hype for authenticity. And Michael's got it. Totally got the authentic thing going on.
Well, I love that and look forward to more from that. What else you got?
Well, next up is this young lady named Birdie. And Birdie is, I believe she's now 16 years old. If I did my math correct, she was born in 1996, she's from England also. And in 2008, when she was 12 years old, she won the UK's largest national music competition called I think it's called Open Mic UK. And what was interesting was that she won that competition with a song that she wrote. However, what really and it was her voice that just you know got all the fans to support her. But what really blew her up was when she went into the studio and recorded a version of Bon Iver's Skinny Love. And it was released almost a year ago in the UK and went right up the charts. And so her new album actually is mostly covers. I think there's 12 or 13 songs on the record. All but one are cover songs. She does a song by The Phoenix, The National, Fleet Foxes. She even tries to take on James Taylor, but it's Skinny Love that people are reacting to, and for good reason. Her voice is just pure, and it's absolutely beautiful and breathtaking. So let's listen to that one. It's Skinny Love by Birdie.
Come on, Skinny Love, just last the year. Poor little soul, we were never here. My, 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 my.
sink of blood and crushed veneer.
Birdie with Skinny Love from an album that's our guest Bruce Warren mentioned out in the UK last year, coming out this year. Bruce Warren is telling us what to maybe have our ears open for in 2012. And what else is on your list?
Well, I'm going to go to the little rock and roll side of things now. There's a band from Iceland that a lot of folks are excited about. They're called Of Monsters and Men. They are a six-piece band. Their EP is out now. Their full album is coming out in March. And, you know, we, you know, there's a great radio station in Seattle called KEXP, and they sort of discovered this band when they were over in Iceland, and they did some recording with them, and one of the videos of the song just started sort of viraling out of control, I guess, although not that out of control yet, because a lot of people really still don't know who this band is. So, and you know, we instantly, you know, took to it. It sounds great. It's great, fun, rock and roll. It's interesting. A lot of fans of this band are comparing them to Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. And I don't think I've read a blog post or some fan comments on their Facebook page that doesn't somehow refer to Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. They have that good vibe feeling, and you know they have, you know, it's a big band, a lot of instrumentation, and we're very excited about these guys. So let's check out this song. It's called Little Talk.
So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear.
The stars creak as you sleep. Of Monsters and Men, Little Talk, something to look forward to in 2012. Although, as Bruce Warren indicated, a lot of people have heard that band already, but interesting as the way things move, that album also coming out in March. So look forward to that. We're looking ahead with Bruce Warren, our executive producer here, as we finish up the year on the World Cafe, and I'm going to give you one more pick for this year, Bruce.
All right. Well, you know, we were sort of debating this kind of going into should we talk about Sharon Van Etten or not? We've decided to talk about Sharon Van Etten. She's a singer-songwriter originally from the South. I think she's been in Brooklyn for a long time now, so I guess she, you know, calls herself a Brooklynite. But Sharon, it's a really interesting story about Sharon. She put out an incredible record last year. And I've had a soft spot for Sharon. She here at WXPN in Philadelphia, we have a project that we work with a group called Weather Vane Music called Shaking Through. And basically it involves an artist coming into the studio one day, writing one song, and they record the song and they film the entire process. Sharon was the very first artist we did for Shaking Through. And I just remember watching her perform and hearing this song and just melting. And it took a while for folks to kind of catch on to Sharon's last record. However, many folks have. And I think she's at the point of her career now. She's got a new record coming out in February called Tramp. It's on Jag Jaguar Records. So while she's certainly familiar to one level of folks who are music fans, I think this record is really going to kind of take her to another level. So hence we decided to include her this year, because I think this is going to be a breakout record for her. It was produced by Aaron Dessner of The National, and it's just a wonderful record. So let's check this one out. It's called Serpents from Sharon Van Etten.
Serpents from Sharon Van Etten, another pick from Bruce Warren, our executive producer here at the World Cafe, and that is a song that I can concur. What a great song. I'm hoping the rest of the album is that good, and I guess we'll find out in February. So let us recap, because we'll be looking back at this next year with our scorecard. Sharon Van Etten with an album coming out in February. We heard from her. Also, Birdie, the musician from England who does covers, did a wonderful version of the Bon Iver song. That album coming out quite soon here. Michael Kiwanuka, he's also got an album coming in February as well. And he was the British soulster, and we also heard of Monsters and Men with a song you may have heard already, but there's much more from that coming in March. All right, Bruce, we'll see you again next year.
Hey, thanks, David.
Bruce Warren, our guest here on the World Cafe.